worship team and everyone that serves on a weekly basis. I want to do a couple of things before we get into the Word. I want to kind of let you all know what we're going to be doing the next few weeks. The next few weeks, we're going to be digging into a series that's from 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, what I want you to do is, before we turn there, before we get into it, let me just kind of introduce you to the sermon idea and the reason behind it. You know, every year the doctors recommend you to go for a what? A checkup, a physical, a checkup. Everyone loves going to it. And then once you get like above 40 or 50, you really love going to the special checkups each and every year for those. So we're not talking about that kind of checkup. We're just talking about a wellness check, a physical that every person will usually go for at least once a year to ensure that their body is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Their numbers are at, you know, I guess an optimal range. And if something is not right, then what do? You fix it. You find out, okay, I need to lower my intake of this, or I need to increase my, you know, intake of this, or whatever it is that is wrong, you kind of need to evaluate. And that's what I want the next few weeks to be. I want the next few weeks founded out of 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about living stones and holy people, to be a series in which we actually target what it is that we should be doing in our Christian walk. See, there are going to be times in our faith and in our walk with the Lord where we are lacking in one thing or another. Maybe our prayer life is not where it should be. Maybe our heart is not in the right attitude or place in which it should be. Maybe our generosity is completely depleted and we're selfish or we're greedy or we're prideful. Maybe our eyes and our heart and our mind are lustful thinking, looking, acting. There are always going to be times in which we are thinking of ways or seeing ways which we need to increase something or decrease this or completely eliminate that. And I want these next few weeks, probably till the end of September, who knows, into October, I really don't know. All I want to do is I want to look at things in which we should see in our daily, weekly lives following Jesus. And if we do not see them, we need to take a self-assessment or analytical test of ourselves and kind of like a wellness check of our faith and of our walk. Now, I will say this. I will just kind of preface this series with this. It might ruffle some feathers a little bit. We practiced that this morning. Mom was ruffling her feathers, I guess. No, but I will say it may ruffle your feathers a little bit, just a little bit, because there may be things where God reveals to you that you're lacking or you're doing a poor job at. And same as myself, there are going to be times where I preach to you something that I need just as much as you need. And today we're going to start with actually reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to talk about the call to holiness. See, here's the deal. Whenever we consider ourselves to be a Christian, we should not just talk the talk, but we should walk the walk. If I say to you I am a Christian and my life reflects something completely different, then my words are just empty words and I'm a liar. That's all it is. If I tell you, hey, I am saved by the grace of God, yet everything I do and everything I say reflects something completely opposite, you would call me a hypocrite. You would call me a liar. So what I want to do is I want to see what signs we should see in our lives that actually show progress in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. That's exactly what you should be doing each and every day of your life, is you should be striving to grow more and more like Him. Did you know that? Every single day, you should be striving to grow more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, for those of us who are Christians, I think the most important thing to start with is to know that our life should be a constant pursuit of holiness. And I know you've heard it said before. I'm not the first one to say it. I've heard it said and preached before. But God is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. And so many Christians think that, okay, once I say the prayer, God, come into my heart, I'm saved, everything's good, I'm not going to face trial, I'm not going to face tribulation, I'm never going to be tempted, I'm never going to be sick, I'm never going to lose my job. And in fact, Jesus actually said what? He said, in this world you will face tribulation. In this world you will face hardship. But hey, take heart, I have overcome the what? The world. I am above all of these things that you will face in my name. So take heart, remain steadfast, keep fighting the good fight. As Paul said, he fought the good fight, he persevered, he remained faithful to the gospel, even in the face of hardship and opposition. And what he did was he said, it didn't matter what came my way, it didn't matter what the world threw at me, it didn't matter what the devil threw at me, it didn't matter what anything that came my way, I was focused on the prize, and that prize is eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. So, starting in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read to you the passage of scripture that I really want to focus on over the next few weeks and dig some things from the text that may come from 1 Peter, it may not. What are some signs that we should see in the progress of the process of becoming more and more like Jesus, this sanctifying process that takes place with the work of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, revealing to us the sins in which we live in, revealing to us over time things that we didn't think were a big deal 5 years ago are now putting us on our face in the presence of God, calling to his name, asking for forgiveness, repentance of our sin. That is exactly where we want to go. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is actually titled in my Bible, A Living Stone and a Holy People. So Peter writes this to some people who were in dispersion, exiled. He goes, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let me just kind of share with you, that is not talking about your spiritual maturity in that text. He is simply implying the dependence on the word of God and on the promise of God. Before this passage of scripture, into chapter 1, he is talking about the purifying of our souls by our obedience to the truth. And he is talking about the flesh, you know, all flesh is like grass in its glory. And he quotes Isaiah 40 when he says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. It stands forever. And this word is good news that was preached to you. The gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, rose on the third day to grant us new life. So whoever would believe in him and put their faith and trust in him would be saved and not perish, but have eternal life in him. He is saying, so put away all malice because of this, and like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. The Greek word here used for spiritual is actually another form of the word used for word in chapter 1, which is logos, meaning the word, the gospel, Jesus Christ. He's saying, like newborn infants, long for the word of God. Read the word. Grow in the word. Long for the promises of God. That is what will sustain you and what will strengthen you over time. This process of becoming more and more like Jesus, the only way that we can grow into it by the work of the Holy Spirit is the word of God and the promises of God, and that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. I could just ask you real quick, if anyone has tasted that the Lord is good. It might sound a little strange to some of y'all, but who here has tasted that the Lord is good? You know, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, whenever people said things about us, or whenever we received the news from the doctor, or when we stood at the funeral home due to the passing of someone else, we tasted that the Lord was good because he is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always present. He is always comforting. He is always providing. He is always encouraging. He is always building up. And I would say we have all tasted that the Lord is good. That's the only reason some of you are still here today. Let's be honest. The world has given you enough, but because of the taste of the Lord, because of the provision of the Lord, the protection of the Lord, the love, the mercy and the grace in which God has granted you, you are here. And he goes on to say, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. as you come to him is implying the invitation of God to invite us and the implication in which we are in a living relationship with him. See, the goal is that all of us would be in an intimate, healthy, growing relationship with the Lord. That is what he desires. He desires reconciliation. He desires for you to repent and come home to him, to live in relationship with him. That's what the Bible says, that God wants none to perish, but all to come to repentance. Why does he want that? Because it brings him glory when you live in relationship with him, and when you love him, and when you share him, and when others see him through you. And he says, as you come to him, a living stone, this is exactly where the series is going from, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you go on to read the rest of that passage, you see that Jesus is the cornerstone. And he quotes, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So what I want you to think about over the next few weeks is, as a living stone, how are you being built up? How are you building yourself in your faith? How are you building yourself in your walk with the Lord? How are you being built? And what I want to do is I want to discuss, starting today and over the next few weeks, ways in which we build ourselves in the Lord. And we don't do it alone. We do it with the work of the Holy Spirit and his mercy and his grace given to us, that we can actually make changes in our hearts and in our lives to glorify the Lord. And today I want to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, you just have to flip a page back. Or if you just scroll through or scroll up to chapter 1. And starting verse 13, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Anybody excited about that? Anybody excited for the days in which you see the Lamb of God face to face, and in which you see the one that carried the cross for you? And he goes on to say, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So today I want to talk about the pursuit of holiness. Pursuit of holiness. And you may be wondering, wait, why this on the very first time of this series of things that we should see in our lives to show the progress of the process of becoming more and more like Jesus? Well, here's the deal. If I were to read the rest of chapter 1, let me just kind of catch you up with what Peter goes on to write. He says that knowing that you are ransomed for the futile ways and inherited from your forefathers with not perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And he is talking about, because of our Father calling us to him, we should be like him. I mean, if you call yourself a Christian, you should be like Christ. Right? I mean, him, like, that's what we should be. If I call myself a Christian but live like the devil, I am a hypocrite. I am a liar. And I will be destined to hell forever. Because I can say one thing, but if I do not show it, then I'm a fake, then I'm a fraud. So pursuit of holiness is simply targeting what you pursue in this life. Do we pursue happiness? Do I want to do the things that make me happy? Because I'll be honest with you, preaching behind a pulpit doesn't always make me happy. There are some things that used to make me real happy. Anybody testify to that? There are some things I used to say about people that made me feel real good. There are some actions I used to carry out that made me feel real good. However, the Apostle Paul says it best. He is the Apostle Paul. He says, those who are in Christ are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So because I am now a Christian, because I have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and because I have chosen to follow Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I now desire new things. So here's the deal. Just a real quick evaluation of yourself. If I call myself a Christian and I do the things I used to do living in the world, I need to evaluate what kind of transformation that was. Was that just a three-week trial and error period, which I thought it would be a good idea to act like other people acted in the church because they thought they were holy? Or was I truly transformed by the Spirit of God calling me, convicting to me, revealing to me the things in which my life was glorifying not the Father, but glorifying myself or living for the world? So the pursuit of holiness, do I pursue happiness? Do I pursue sinfulness? Do I really enjoy the desires of my flesh? And do I just keep feeding myself those desires because they have a temporary satisfaction? And here's the thing. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be pornography. It could be greed. It could be pride. It could be gossip. It could be a whole list of things. It could be a whole list of things. And you all know what you struggle with. Does anyone struggle with anything? Let's just be honest. See, you don't have to share it with us. We don't want to know it all. Although at the end of service, we will have you come and confess one, and then you can leave. I'm just kidding. We're not going to make you do that. But we all know what we struggle with, and we all know what temptations, when they arise, it is like a bit of, adrenaline runs through our veins and we are so excited. And once that moment comes, and then what we realize is that the day after, it was just a complete waste of time. So do we pursue happiness? Do we pursue sinfulness? Do we pursue worldliness? Do we just want to live as the world lives and just say whatever is accepted by culture, we accept? Whatever is tolerated by culture, we just tolerate and we just accept it for what it is because the world accepts us? Or do we truly want to pursue holiness and bring glory and honor to our Father? That is the question. Do I see a pursuit of holiness in my life? Meaning, am I being convicted and changed over time by the Holy Spirit? Am I pursuing holiness and things that are holy because of the price? See, here's the thing. When you come to understand the price that was paid for you, it will change your pursuit of this life. If we truly understood the price that was paid for us, we just took communion because of it. We have a cross behind the pulpit over the baptistry because of it. If we truly understood the price that was paid, that God the Father would send His only begotten Son, that He would step down from glory, step down from His throne, put on flesh and bone to walk among sinners like you and me, to die on a cross because He had the power to do whatever He wanted, but He chose to provide us a way back to our Father. He was the bridge from sinful man to holy God. He was the only way to heaven. I don't care what the world tells you, what Oprah tells you, what anybody tells you. He is the only way. Jesus Christ Himself is the only way to the Father. So, with that being said, if we knew the price that was paid for us, we wouldn't pursue holiness because we have other church eyes watching us. We would pursue holiness because we are trying to bring glory and honor in our appreciation with the life that we have. Paul says to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Present your body, present your mind, present your heart, present your actions as a living sacrifice. Why? Why would we do that? Because of the price that was paid for us. It is only our responsibility to present ourselves completely to Him. Everything about us should be offered up to Him, saying, God, here is my finances. God, here is my marriage. God, here are my children. God, here is my future. God, here is every aspect about me, because on the cross you covered everything. Therefore, I will offer up everything to you. God, grant me the wisdom to make decisions in all of these areas. God, grant me the peace of mind. God, grant me the strength to carry on. And here's the thing. I mean, it's so easy to just appreciate it and live in whatever we want. It is. I mean, it is really like, man, God is so good. God is so good. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I will use that phrase, or I will think in that mindset of God is so good, so I can do whatever I want. I can live how I want. I mean, God's good. I still love him. God is good, so I'll talk however I want, or I'll think, or I'll pray, or I'll spend, or I'll give however I want, because, you know, I'm still trying to bring glory and honor to his name. But he is desiring from us to be holy, to be holy, to be a reflection of himself. He is desiring that for you, to become the righteousness of God because of the price that was paid for us from him, and his name is Jesus. And he goes on to say, you were ransomed by the precious blood. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, we read earlier that as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. I don't know about you, but that should encourage you just a little bit to know that, yeah, you might be rejected by men, and yeah, you might have to say worldly things no and goodbye, and you might have to tell some people, no, we can no longer do this, or I can no longer be that. But in the sight of God, you are to be chosen and precious. A living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. And the thing is, the scary thing is that there are so many people concerned with being accepted by people and having many friends and having a big Facebook following or lots of Instagram likes, or you don't want to have any opposition. Let's just, everybody live at peace. I'll be me, you be you, and I just want to be accepted by everybody. Can I tell you that I would be a liar if I told you I don't struggle with that too. Here, anybody else want to be accepted? I mean, we want to have people appreciate us, accept us. But when it all comes down to it, he is saying that if we are to be living stones, we are to be holy. And we may be rejected by men. And he's not talking about other church people. He's talking by men, meaning the people of the world. But when we are rejected by men, the people of the world, the ways of the world, when we say no to this, or we say no to that, or we say no, I'm not accepting or tolerating this as the norm because I'm standing on the word of God, I'm standing for the promises of God, I'm standing on the truth of God. Yeah, you might be rejected. Yeah, you may face opposition. People may say things about you or call you this or call you that. But wouldn't it be so incredibly beautiful to see our Father call us his chosen and his precious? Can you just picture that, to be the chosen and the precious in the sight of God? And let's be honest, everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone wants to be approved of. And you can think about it right now. Just think for yourself. Just think to yourself. What people in your life do you still seek the approval of but are just poison to you? I mean, really. What people do you still seek to please but are just toxic? Constantly bringing you down to the worldly standards, rather than the holiness of our God. What people or what ways do you still find yourself falling short to? The temptations are there, and instead of living by the way of escape that our Lord provides, you just walk down the journey with other people because you care for them or they're close to you. But all in all, they're poison, they're toxic, and they're leading you down the wrong path. And God is calling you to live holy and to be holy. That's what he desires from you. He desires a holy sacrifice, our entire selves, to present to him. And he says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to a holy priesthood. Living stones. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. As Matthew Henry wrote, it should be seen in our speech, our behavior, our thinking, and conversation. That if you are to claim yourself a Christian, it should be seen in those categories. And all your conduct, the internal, external, everything about me should be seen. There should be a change from the old me to the new me in Christ as a new creation. And he says that you were ransomed from those ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander. So let's just ask ourselves today, I mean, just be real with yourself. You don't have to raise a hand, stand up at this point, but I just want to ask ourselves today, are we truly pursuing holiness? I mean, are you truly pursuing holiness? Is the Spirit of God convicting you of sin and revealing to you ways of worldly living or fleshly desires that you surrender to, temptations that you fall short to? And are you obeying those promptings and those convictions by repenting of your sin? Or are you repeating? It's one of two things that we do in this life when it comes to temptation, when it comes to sin. We either repent or we repeat. That's it. Either repeat drunkenness or I repent from it and change my ways. I either repeat gossip or I repent from it and change my ways. I either repeat idolatry or adultery or greed or I repeat it. Repent or repeat. And the goal for today is for us to truly look at our lives and our hearts and ask ourselves, are we truly pursuing holiness? Are we each and every day of our lives trying to become more and more like Jesus in the way that we talk, in the way that we think, in the way that we act? Or are we still living in the worldly ways? Because first and foremost, for us who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, this isn't a once-time, done all, I prayed the prayer, let me live my life. This is a constant pursuit of him, constantly. I want to, and it may be, I don't know if it's being selfish, but I want to live a life in such a way when people look at the life that I live and the marriage I have, they desire the same thing. I want people to say, I want what he has got. And I'm telling you, it only comes by growing closer and closer into an intimate relationship with my Lord. And the closer and closer I grow to him, the more and more I see him. And the more holy I try to live and surrender myself to him daily, the more I feel him and more I see him work. And the more I see the mercy, the grace, and the love of Jesus Christ through me, in me, around me. So the goal is for all of us to surrender ourselves completely to him so that we would be living and we would be holy, and we would be constantly pursuing him, repenting of our sin, because the old things have passed away. And the only thing that scares me in today's church is that people will substitute a holy living for high attendance. I'm here. God saw me today. I was at church. And they will substitute holy living for high attendance. Or they'll substitute in today's world, and it makes me sick, a holy living for holy Facebook posts and holy Christian shares. My 5-year-old could share something on Facebook and she have no idea what she's doing. But do we actually show what we say? Do we actually live what we claim to be? Are we constantly pursuing holiness over worldliness, over sinfulness, over happiness even? So as living stones being built up, are we building ourselves up in Christ, or are we just constantly living with the world? So the pursuit of holiness is where we must strive. This is a constant pursuit, a daily struggle, a forever path, if you may say, until the time comes where we see him face to face. Once we're in his presence, there is no need to strive to be holy because we are going to be in the righteousness of God. We will dwell in his majesty. Once we reach heaven, we don't have to try to be holy. There will be no more sin. There will be no more shame. There will be no more tears or pain. But the goal is to get there, to be like him. The entire purpose of our lives is to share the gospel with people that they too would one day dwell with us in heaven forever and ever. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So as Christians, as little Christ, we are to be like him. How do we know who he is or how he was? Well, there's a really big book all about him. We have to be in his word. We have to read his word, study his word, live out his word, and believe in the truth of our God. He would never leave us nor forsake us, and he will grant us eternal life. So at this point, I want to pray before we finish up. I want to go ahead and pray before we sing one last time and finish.